What's going on, gang? We're back. This is episode 249 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal DeQuincy.
Yo, everybody. We're back. Hope you enjoyed that Super Bowl. Hope it was a riveting game. Let me, I was thinking about this today because we record on Saturday because neither one of us will have time to record on Sunday, of course. So I was going to throw out some, like, just some platitudes, like, hold on. Let me give a voice shot. Me. Wow. What a game. Did you see how the winning team came through in the clutch? Awesome. And what about the losing team? That one player, he's going to be thinking about that one play he didn't make all season. And did you enjoy Taylor Swift? She's looking great in her outfit, wasn't she? And Usher, whoo, what a concert. Took me back to my early 20s. All the songs, all the hits, those special appearances. Unbelievable. Loved it. Can't wait till next year.
And scene. That was perfect, man. That is how you recap a Super Bowl you have not yet watched.
It's going to turn out to be like that Patriots Rams Super Bowl where it's going to be a completely shit 13-3 game. Watch. But now I'm ready to watch Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, it's that bittersweet moment because it's like the biggest game of the year, but it's also like, you know, just the last game of the season as well. Just another indication that the, you know, football's over. Got to wait a few months, but then again, it gets sweet again because then it just reminds you that baseball is just around the corner.
Yeah. Also, that means I can pay attention to the Rockets, who are actually playing well.
Worth paying attention.
Yeah, because I remember at the beginning of the season, we were both of the idea, like, they'll be better than they were last year, but there's no way they're going to be in the play-in. And, you know, they've been hanging around. I think as of today, they're like two and a half games out of that 10 seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been making it interesting. I'll be honest with you, I haven't been paying that much attention to them. But I promise I'll turn in once after Sunday. I'll dedicate myself to pay attention to the Rockets, you know, right before the Astros start again.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, man? You been paying any attention to the hometown team?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I actually went to a game back in January, right? No, December. It was December.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a game in December, and first game in a long time. It was fun. They lost, but they kept it. They played Phoenix that night, so they kept it pretty close for a while, and then, you know, just really weren't able to hang on. But it's an interesting team, man. Like, because they've got this young but also like experienced head coach in Ime Udoka, who, you know, only coached what, 1 year for the Celtics? Before he got fired?
Sounds about right. I'll go with that.
Something like that. But in that 1 year, like, he got the team, like, he turned the team around and got them, like, to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, his indiscretions off the court, you know, obviously would cost him that gig.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got, like, this like, grizzled young veteran head coach. You've got the right amount of, like, veteran, like, players that they brought in with, like, Fred VanVleet,
Dylan
Green,
Brooks.
Jeff Green, and Dylan Brooks, who we've talked about this at nauseam at some point, that, you know, why Dylan Brooks? Like, especially me, because I'm not a fan of, like, you know, the shitster, the trash talker. As great as he did for one game against LeBron, you know, it ultimately, you know, bit him in the ass that series. But he's turned into a solid veteran presence on that team, on this team. And I guess to sum up everything, or not, well, no, real quick, what's his name? Şengün, looking really good and is only like 21, I think. So, in theory, you think he's only going to get better, which is kind of scary because he's already pretty good. But for me at this point, I think the key so far, or lately at least, is that Cam Whitmore is really looking like the steal of the draft. Like that's what a lot of people were saying going into this, or immediately after the draft, immediately after him falling to like the number 20 or 22 pick or whatever, wherever it was.
20.
And people were saying, I remember, like, oh, this could be the steal of the draft. And you say that every year. It seems like everybody says that, every year at some point. But this it really it's really looking like that this year.
You paid more
I have
attention
watched a
to,
few games.
yeah, like you paid
So
more attention than I expect. I thought this would be a quick in and out section. You're actually giving analysis and everything.
it's an interesting team. It is. I mean, they're on the bubble, but they're not like they're not it's not a they're not repeating what the Texans just did, but they're doing what I think they're doing what we all expected the Texans to do, which was to make that gradual incremental or incremental plus, because it's not, I mean, they are better than last year. They're not world beaters yet, but they've made like an incremental plus improvement, I feel like. And I think that's what a lot of people were expecting the Texans to do, is just kind of inch their way back into relevancy instead of just knocking the door down immediately. Yeah, they seem to be kind of going that route. Like they are, on the bubble. We'll see if they make it. I think they could make the play in for sure.
You before the season, you were like, you were with me, like, oh, what they'll be better, but no play. And now you're like, Mr. Rocket now.
I mean, it's like when your team is interesting to watch, it doesn't hurt. It makes it interesting to, makes you want to tune in.
They are the fun but flawed team.
Definitely.
What's their record now? Do you know the record off the top of your head? They're
Believe
currently
I know
playing
they're
the Hawks right now.
okay. I know they're under 500. They might be what, 22 and 25 or 26?
They
23 and
are,
28.
yeah.
Yeah.
Two games out of the 10th seed. Better than we expected going into the season.
I mean, I think it would have been fair to predict they'd finish with 23 wins, which is like double that would have been double from last year.
Yeah, I think 20. What they have to say, 23. I think that hits the over. You bet the over on the Rockets. I think you already hit it.
Yeah. So maybe it is more of a it's more than an incremental plus improvement. Who knows? We'll have a better idea of how to, assess their improvement when the season is finished.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the standings right now, and I'm like, I didn't realize the T-Wolves were number one in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards and Cat are dominating.
The Clippers are the two seed, and I will believe in the Clippers when they are hoisting the championship trophy. That's when I'll believe,
Right.
not a second before.
I remember when they traded for Harden, they immediately went like 0-3 or 0-4 or 1-4 or something like that. But they've been like the best team in basketball since that trade, since that like first week after the trade. I guess the first week after the trade.
After they started sucking, they played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going through right now. How the Mighty Have Fallen, the Golden State Warriors 24 and 25. I've seen people online talk about, man, this really sucks for Steph Curry going out like this. And I'm like, good, fuck him. Yeah. It ain't fun no more, huh? When you're doing it by yourself, when your two longest tenured teammates are either completely washed, like Klay Thompson, or just complete buffoonery, a la Draymond Green. Is Draymond gonna get 10 rebounds? Is he gonna put up excellent defensive area effort? Is he gonna choke a motherfucker out? We don't know, but all three are possible.
Is he gonna throw a guy through a wall?
Is he gonna turn the arena into a Tekken stage? Maybe. Maybe. Memphis Grizzlies 18 and 34. If I remember correctly, they got Ja back for what, maybe a week or two, and then he's out for the season now.
Poor shoulder up, I believe.
Yeah. San Antonio Spurs, worst team in the West. Welcome to the NBA, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, I mean, a few bright moments individually, but I mean, this team has not gotten hasn't they really haven't improved at all.
Everybody outside of Victor plays like they're thinking is, I know he's going to be on the team next year. I don't know if I'm going to be here, so I need to get my I need to do everything. I need to get my points up. It's like, just feed the 7'5" freak and make it happen. I think my favorite thing about the Spurs right now is reading like reporters who are like, well, after the offseason, the Spurs will go out and they'll try to sign some free agents. And I'm like, what free agents have come to San Antonio? Like, what's the biggest free agent signing in San Antonio Spurs history?
Free agent signing, man. I don't think they've ever had one. I mean, they've drafted well. I mean, that's
Yeah,
to
that
their
goes without
credit,
saying.
but I don't what, Dennis Rodman, maybe?
Was he a free agent, or did he get traded that year? Free agent signings.
Okay, let's see. Clutchpoints.com in August 2023 put out the very article, eight best free agent signings in Spurs franchise history ranked.
All right, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Coming in at number three, according to James Salmon or Salmon from Clutchpoints.com. And he notes the very first sentence he notes, which is the only sentence I'll read. Don't worry. San Antonio Spurs haven't necessarily always attracted the biggest names through free agency, but over the course of their illustrious history, they've signed plenty of free agents who have had a major impact on their franchise. So, at number eight, they've got Michael Finley from 2005. That was after he played for the Mavericks for like what, 10 years or something.
Yes.
Number seven, Malik Rose in 1997.
We're already batting 1,000, folks.
Man, I have not heard Malik Rose in since 1997. Australian Patty Mills,
Woo.
2011. Number six. Number five is Danny Green, 2010. Number four, I'll give it to him. Robert Horry, 2003.
One of the greatest role players of all time.
I mean,
I'll
what,
admit that.
seven, eight rings to his resume?
Yeah, he's got the rings, Root, but keep going.
Number three, Avery Johnson, 1994.
I have no memory of Avery Johnson as a player, only as the diminutive coach who loses his temper. That's the only image I have of that man.
Oh yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge, 2015. Number two. He got hurt a lot when he got to San Antonio, I feel like. Or was he hurt a lot before? I don't remember, but he was one of those guys that like never truly lived up to his potential. And then number one is Bruce Bowen in 2001.
I hear a lot of role players right there.
All role players, yeah.
Let's see. San Antonio. Look at LaMarcus Aldridge games played. 74, 72, 75, 81, and then 53 going into that. And that's 1920. So now you're pretty healthy playing in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 53 game season he played was the COVID one where they had to stop because Rudy Gobert couldn't keep his hands to his motherfucking self.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Is that one of the biggest screw-ups in his NBA history?
Yes.
I mean, you figure was gonna spread, right? But like he didn't even give the NBA a chance to like contain it or prepare for it.
Like, there's one thing if the league shuts down because COVID is spreading so fast, everyone, a majority of the NBA gets it and you have to shut down. That's understandable. But to be the face of the league shutting down because of COVID,
Patient zero.
yeah, that's the first thing on his highlight reel, the first thing on his resume. When you
I
think of
just
Rudy Gobert, you're gonna think of that. You're gonna think of Draymond Green choking him out. You're gonna think about how none of his teammates in Utah really fucked with the guy. That's what you're gonna think of.
an all-time dope in NBA history.
Yeah. And going over to East, right? I gotta say, if the Celtics don't win the Eastern Conference this year, just pack it up. It may be time to look at trading one of Brown or Tatum.
That's fair. I agree.
Because you go through the East right now, the top 10 teams. The Cavaliers, don't believe them. The Milwaukee Bucks have gone backwards since they hired Doc Rivers. New York Knicks, they made some trades at the deadline to make their team better, but it's still the Knicks. The 76ers have lost Embiid to a meniscus injury. No idea when he's coming back. The Pacers, they seem really frisky, but I don't, I'm not taking them seriously. The Heat, maybe.
Well, the Heat's already starting to blow it up because didn't they trade Kyle Lowry?
Yeah. But I don't, the Heat's just sneaky. Like, you'll look up and they'll be in the Eastern Conference final again. You'll be like, what the fuck happened?
That's true.
The Magic, maybe a year too soon. They're probably right with the Pacers and being frisky, not great. The Bulls, I don't know how. They just lost Zach LaVine for the year with a foot injury, so I don't know how they're even in play. Well, because the rest of the East is trash. And the Hawks, you talk about the Hawks. What a disappointing team they've been.
Man, I
I
mean,
think it was 2 or 3 years ago that the Hawks were like one of the top seeds in the East and have just been sliding backwards ever since.
Trae Young was considered one of like the best, you know. He was considered, I mean, he was on the cusp of being like a top, what, 20 player in the league. And man, they're going nowhere fast.
Like, I need to see their record by year. What year was it that it was?
Let me ask you this while you're looking that up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you ever start typing Atlanta whenever you hear? Because I can't ever just type ATL
I just type,
anytime.
if I Google it, I just type ATL and Atlanta comes up. Let's see. That was the 2020-2021 season. They were 41-31, and they made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's when they look like they were getting ready to take a step. But the last two seasons, they've lost in the first round. And this year looks like they're going to be either out or be playoff fodder again. Like, I don't, they've taken two steps back in the last 3 years.
Yep.
So look at the teams. Who are your final picks?
Out of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, pick one out. Yeah, who's gonna make it to the finals from the East and the West?
I mean, at this point, it's Boston's to lose.
Yeah.
Now that Embiid is, done for a good chunk of the year. And yeah, I mean, look, I personally am a fan of Giannis. I like his mentality. I like his the way he plays. I mean, he's just a freak of nature. It's unbelievable that someone that is built like him and plays the way he does. Like it's impressive. Man, if they could turn it around. It's definitely not, it definitely won't be a done deal for Boston. But until then, until they really turn it around, yeah, this is Boston's year to lose. I mean, this is their.
Yeah, I tell you, I cannot trust the Bucks. Doc Rivers, no one in NBA history has lost more series of 3-1 than that man.
Right. That too.
He's up there with the Clippers. I believe it when he's hoisting the trophy. So I'm with you. I think it's the Celtics championship Eastern Conference to lose. And then out west. Oh man, out west. I hate to be bored, but I think I'll pick the Nuggets again. Jokic is still the best player in the league. I don't care who won MVP last year. And I just
Right.
think Denver, once the postseason start, they flip the switch and they're good and they're ready to go. They're going all the way to the top. That's who I pick out of the West. What about yourself?
Man, it's hard to go against the defending champs. I think right now, yeah, I think right now I would go with Denver. Minnesota is, I mean, it's such a tight race at the top, man, between one through four. But I don't know. I think Minnesota might slip a little bit, just because they haven't proven anything at this point. And the Clippers again, like you said, that's just a cursed organization. They know how to break their fans' hearts at the best worst time. They do it just about as good, if not better, than most teams like them. Cowboys, Mets.
Oh man, I think the only team that come close to the Chargers.
The Chargers, right?
Now, you remember that game, the playoff game they had last year against the Jaguars?
Yes, of course, man. I was all in on Jacksonville after that game. I mean, how could you not be after that performance, after that collapse?
Yeah, and you shouldn't have been because the reason it happened was the Chargers.
Right.
So we're in agreement. We both got Celtic Nuggets.
Yeah, I think that's the, that's got to be the most likely matchup.
Remember who went last year. Last year, I knew it was the Nuggets. I couldn't remember who they played. It was the Heat Nuggies. All right. So that's enough basketball for us for the next 3 weeks, if not longer. I'm gonna be honest with you, we talked more basketball than I thought we would. So we really don't have like a too much of a plan. We're just free flowing today. So what else you want to talk about? Talk about wrestling, we're gonna talk about what's going on in baseball. Let you choose.
I think, I think we should talk about Altuve and the Astros and everything that's been going on lately. It just, yeah, in baseball in general, yeah. A little preview of the baseball talk that we're going to, be providing in the next over the next few months.
Do you remember how we did our baseball preview last year?
We went division by division, correct?
Yep. So I just remind because I went back and I was like, wow, we talked a lot about the both centrals. Who knew
Yeah.
we could talk like that? But yeah, we're gonna do that again. Probably starting next week because the Dodgers and I can't remember who they start early. Because they have
That's
like
right.
a series, in, I think Korea, I think. But yeah, like the Dodgers and I can't remember what team they're going to be playing on, but they're starting. They've already started spring training.
Is it Washington?
That's a very good question. Yeah, I Google Dodgers into my damn. Computer, yucky. Now I got
Padres
Padres.
in Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah, so we'll start talking. We'll get an in-deep dive into baseball starting next week. Hopefully, we'll have better predictions. Somebody won't go out here and predict Alex Manoah as AL Cy Young.
Yeah. Woo! That one's gonna go down in infamy.
Look, I got all the wild card teams in the
True.
National League. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
But now let's talk about the Astros. They can call it. Jim Crane, he heard you guys talking about him being cheap. He goes out here. Not only does he sign Jose Altuve to a 5-year, $125 million extension, goes out on the free agent market and signs the best relief pitcher on the market, Josh Hader, 5 years, $95 million.
A record for a relief pitcher, right?
I think it's a record by AAV.
Okay.
That's
Oh, that's
95.
right.
I
That's right.
think
Because,
Diaz from the Mets may be bigger. Let me double check that.
yeah, he got like 105, I think.
102.
102. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. 5 years, 102. A couple club options. Yeah. So, very big contract for Hader. Something that I was unexpecting from this Astros team. I thought they were basically done with free agency, but they lost Kendall Graveman and had to make something shake, and shake they did.
Yeah, I mean, you have to like when your team goes out and gets the best available reliever on the market. I mean, if you can do that and you do it, then you are going to be extended a lot of goodwill by your fan base.
Yeah, I'm looking at the salary cap. They're like $2 million under the second luxury threshold. I mean, shit, in for a penny, in for a pound. You can pass that if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, so I had the question I want to ask you. So let's say you're Jim Crane right now, and Scott Boras comes into your office, hat in hand, saying, "My client, he can't get any big deals out there. No one believes him. No one trusts him. I need to come to you and get a pillow contract, 1 year, $25 million. Please, will you sign my client?" And you're wondering who I'm talking about, right? Cody Bellinger.
Oh.
Would you sign Cody Bellinger to a 1-year contract if you're Jim Crane?
If I'm Jim Crane, yes. If I'm Chaz McCormick and you ask me if Chaz McCormick is Jim Crane, well, Chaz McCormick as Jim Crane is saying, hell no.
That's why players don't make the decisions.
Right.
I'm just wondering, it's because the free agent market has been so slow. I was thinking maybe there's going to be a player or two that just says, hey, give me a 1-year deal, and I'll just go out there and try again next year. And out of all of the players I can think of, I think Bellinger would be the best one because he's still young. I think he's only 28. So that was just something I was just thinking about. Like, you sign him, have him out in center field. Chaz is in left, and he alternates with Alvarez.
Yeah. I think about Cody Bellinger like that because I agree with you. And I think he would be one of those guys that you should offer like a 1-year deal because he completely turned it around last year. I mean, he was the Cody Bellinger of young old, considering he's again like you said,
28.
only like 28. But if I'm any owner, not just Jim Crane, I'm still not sold on can he do this on a consistent basis? And
Yeah.
I think it'd be damn near foolish to give him even a 4 or 5 year contract, in excess of, $24, $25 a year. But I think a 1 year 25 million, or even a well, yeah, I would say 1 year 25 million, and maybe at most. Here's what I would say. Okay. 1 year 23 million plus 3 million in incentives.
I mean, if you're giving 23 million, you might as well give out 25.
Yeah, but I don't know if you want to pay him 28, 30 million for 1 year if you incentivize it, or if
No, I'm
you add incentives.
here's the incentive. He needs to play well so he can get that big contract next year.
True.
So
Nope, no, that is true.
I would hand over 1 year, $24, $25 million. Here you go. And if he stinks, you just get rid of him. 1 year, there's no such thing as a bad 1 year contract. There's only 1 year. As such, you just tell the bum adios.
Yeah, he is definitely one of those guys that I look at like, if I'm the Astros, give him a chance, give it a shot,
I'm a little shocked because I thought you would be hell no because of the way he reacted about the whole cheating scandal.
True. Yeah. But when, well, I was going to say, I was thinking, I was looking it through Cody Bellinger's lenses, but I've got to put my own lenses back on. No, I think a guy like that that can contribute to your team, that can help you win, I think, look, it was a long time ago. Everybody just needs to get the hell over it.
You wouldn't know that if you go on Twitter. You would not believe how Dodgers fans believe we stole a title for them. Crazy that the only other time they made it to the World Series is when we had a shortened season.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm looking at these free agents and I'm like, God, when are y'all gonna sign? Like, spring training is right around the corner, fellas.
Next
Yeah.
week.
Let's see. Jordan Montgomery, all I've heard of is he wants to play for the Red Sox because his wife had just started a residency in a Boston hospital And once you do a residency, I'm pretty sure you watch Grey's Anatomy. You know, once you start one, you're gonna be there for a while. It's not like you get to transfer all willy-nilly. She's gonna be there a couple of years. And Jordan's like, he's lifting his skirt at the Red Sox, and they're like, "We got 2 years and $36 million for you." But I won five and 105. We got 2 years and 36 million for you, good buddy. Yeah, we'll talk about that later when we talk about division. But man, seeing the mighty, mighty Red Sox just become cheap penny pitching misers has been crazy. I remember the team that would spend anything and everything to beat the Yankees, and now they're terrified of luxury tax. Now I hear like the goddamn Pittsburgh Pirates. Who else? Blake Snell. I heard that he has an offer from the Angels and trying to do anything he can to not take that offer. Cody Bellinger. Have you heard anything about him outside of Chicago? Like any
No.
rumors at all?
I think once the Yankees got Juan Soto, I think the any potential of him joining like the New York Yankees, I think closed immediately.
Yeah, I think that's the only two teams I heard talk about them were the Cubs and the Yankees, and it's been nothing since then. I have to check MLB trade rumors later to see. And then one guy I've heard nothing bupkis about, excuse me, is Matt Chapman.
Right, third baseman.
Like, no rumors, nothing. Like, he's just out there in the ether. He's going to sign with the team. We're going to be like, what, them?
He might go back to Oakland.
Yeah. Well, if he wants to pay, he wants to play for $17 an hour, he can.
Right.
And then that's about it for like the big names. Got guys like Brandon Belt, JD Martinez, Jorge Soler out there. Well, we're just sitting here waiting. Like, guys, I need to do something. That's all right, but let's get back to Altuve.
And also, it seems like every year it gets later and later that teams are making moves.
I think some of it
2 years ago it was because of the strike, but or the
lockout.
lockout.
I think it's teams like just playing, recognizing the market. It teams are more willing to bring up younger players like than they were before, because now if your guy comes up and he does well, you get a draft pick out of it. If he's on the, I think, top 100 prospects list, if he comes up and he does well, then you get a compensatory draft pick. And like some of these guys, like their teams just don't want to pay big money for pitchers going into their 30s. Like, I've Blake Snell, like, he's very talented, two Cy Youngs and all, but we've said on this podcast before, no one has ever won a Cy Young allowing the amount of walks that Blake Snell allows. And it's like, that control it worked for him now, but when his pitches start getting a little slower and he doesn't have the command he used to, then what's going to happen? You're paying $35, $40 million for a guy who can't get out of the third inning. No one's going to pay for that.
Right. And I don't, I've never blamed teams for, being gun shy with pitchers who are close to, that age 30 mark.
We say that if we're not on the wrong side of 30. Yeah. This is gonna suck when we start doing our reviews and some of these players get signed after we talk about a team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing we're going, we're gonna go full swing next week. Hopefully something will have happened between now and then.
But let's get back to Jose Altuve getting that 5-year extension.
Wait, one more thing before we go to Jose
God
Altuve.
damn it.
Real quick. What are your thoughts on Baltimore now no longer being under the thumb of a penny-pinching owner? That team with the young roster, that group, that core group, adding a fresh set of investors, I guess. That's an interesting combination, I think.
We'll see. That's all I can say about it. We'll
Yeah.
see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect them to go out and just start buying players left and right, but I mean, I look at Baltimore and it's like they could position themselves now to like go out and get that one last piece that they need. And that's a scary thought because, those young guys they have are pretty good.
All I can say is we'll see. It would not be the first time someone came in, bought a team, made all these promises, and did not fulfill them.
True.
They might come in and be like the Dodgers owners, where they pump Camden Yards full of money, and they're out there trying to win a championship every year. Or they might be like the old owners, where these guys hit free agency and be like, ooh, get a little expensive. We'll try to recycle with another player in the minors. You don't know until that time comes. Now, may I please go back to Jose Altuve? Are you going to, you got anything
Let's do it.
else? Damn. Houston
No.
podcast over here trying to talk about a Houston legend, and this man won't talk about the goddamn Baltimore Orioles.
Hey, you
We
can't
will talk
overlook
about the Orioles when we talk about the AL East.
them. I'm just getting a head start. That's all.
Anywho, Jose Altuve, with his 5-year extension, basically guarantees that he'll play his whole career in a Houston Astros uniform. Play till he's 39. He said he wants to play till 40, and if he's still playing well, I wouldn't be surprised they tack on extra year in that extension.
Sure.
I think it's a great contract. I knew it doesn't cost too much. It's 25 a year, so it's not like crippling a team. And it was the one contract that I was 100% sure was going to happen. He wanted to be in Houston. The team wants him here. He means more to the Astros than any other team in baseball. And it's going to be great to just see him continue his career, retire, wait 5 years, and get in the Hall of Fame.
Right. To clarify, I read somewhere, and I think I read it on ESPN, that this contract might be even better than you're making it out now, because from what I've read, the last 2 years they're only paying him 10 million a year, so they're kind of giving him more of the money up front, and then those last 2 years, I believe he's only getting 10 million, that the contract goes down, which, if that's the case, provides the team so much more flexibility at that point in his career and in whatever stage the team is, then.
This is the part where I have to remind you that the contracts are judged by their AAV. So even though his contract, the first 3 years are 33 million and the last two are 13 million, as far as baseball concerned, it's 25 million every year.
I mean, that's still a bargain, that
Yeah.
number.
But it's not like it's going to be such this huge savings for like luxury tax purposes. Like it's a huge savings for like Jimmy Crane's wallet, but as far as building a team, not as much as you think.
So it doesn't help the budget and like free up money to go get someone at that time. Whenever that time comes, at the end of those 2 years, that doesn't free up money for them to make
Correct.
additions that they might need?
He'll be getting 13 million, but as far as luxury tax is concerned, it's 25.
Okay. Okay.
So, like I said, it's going to help Jimmy Crane's wallet paying less for a player who's most likely going to be more diminished those last 2 years in
Yeah.
2018 and 2029, which do not feel like real years. But the only thing that's going to help the Astros going into those years is whatever the luxury tax grows to whenever they get around to doing more CBA negotiations. But yeah, it's a great contract. I'm happy, man. It would have been so fucking weird to see Jose Altuve like in a Marlins uniform or something like that.
Yeah, man, like he's synonymous. He's gonna be one of those rare guys that finishes his career with one team. I mean,
In fact, let's go through history right now. Think of all the guys that were legendary on one team. What's the weirdest jersey that they ended up wearing? Like, for example, Ichiro was on the Yankees
and Marlins.
and Marlins.
Are we talking just baseball?
We can talk any sport you want. Let's go have fun with
I mean, Jordan on the Wizards.
this.
I mean, yeah, Jordan on the Wizards. Karl Malone in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah.
Tom Brady in
Yes, I was just about to say
Buccaneers.
Tom Brady Buccaneers. Super strange.
And baseball,
I feel like that's something we got used to because we saw the writing on the wall. But if you told someone in 2004 that Tom Brady was going to end his career with the Buccaneers, they wouldn't believe you. Ken Griffey Jr.
definitely.
Very weird. Let's see. I got one that hits close to home. Can you guess?
It's close to home.
Yep.
Ooh.
A Houston legend.
Oh, Olajuwon.
Yep.
Toronto. Yeah, that, I mean, just awful. Hell, even J.J. Watt is a
A
Arizona
cardinal.
Cardinal. Yeah. Emmitt Smith is an Arizona Cardinal.
Yeah. Just go to Arizona to retire in real life and in football. Andre Johnson as a Titan.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of which, congratulations to him making the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Big time. First Hall of Fame player representing the Houston Texans.
Yeah. Did you see the video that they put on their Twitter account?
No.
Basically it was Chris Carter coming up, knocking on his door, let him know he made the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
And
wow.
Andre's got his family there, and as soon as he opens the door, sees Chris in his gold jacket, he's like he just it's just real emotional. I was crying, I'm not gonna lie.
Dang.
Was that Chris? I'll see if I can find the video. I'll make sure that was Chris. I only had one problem with it. So they showed, they got the cameras rolling. And they show Chris Carter hugging Andre Johnson, and they show from behind Chris Carter, so you see Andre's face and his emotion. Unfortunately, you watch and you look up, you see they put they my poor man Chris Carter, they had his bald spot out there for the world to see.
Oh no. Oh man, that sucks.
And my man just It's out there. They could have edited it. They could have, brought the angle down a little bit so you see. But I was like, oh man, how are you gonna do Chris like that, man? Well, yeah, that was a great moment. Back to where we started. Any other?
Pete Rose with the Phillies.
Ah, yes.
Going way back.
I'm sure there's
Even
more.
I don't think I well, nah. I was gonna say I don't think I ever got used to seeing Albert Pujols in a Angels uniform. But I guess I did. I guess it wasn't that big of a deal.
How could you see him? He never played. He was always hurt.
That's true. I guess that's why.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any more baseball players come to the top of my mind right now.
And there's just, there's little ones that aren't as like impactful, I guess, like Jacoby Ellsbury going from, was it Boston to New York?
Yeah. In hindsight, he helped the Red Sox, so that contract was detrimental to the Yankees. He was a double agent.
I know it was the first of multiple jumps,
Yeah.
but it was weird seeing Roger Clemens in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform.
Oh, I got one. Seeing Lance Berkman in a Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure, we go on and on. If you're listening, you have any, just leave them in the comments. We'll read them sometime. But I'm just happy about the whole Jose Altuve. What else can you say about the guy? Two-time World Series champion, MVP, all around great dude.
Yeah, and again, I like this contract. Well, mostly because I thought it was going to lap free up money towards the end, but as you pointed out, that's not necessarily the case. But then I have to go all I have to look at the other issue that I was or the second biggest point for me, and that's 3,000 hits. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to get to 3,000 hits, and he's going to get to 3,000 hits as a Houston Astro. And I think that's the most important reason why you have to sign him to that contract is because no team wants to let someone on the precipice of 3,000 hits accomplish that in someone else's uniform. I think milestones like that are things that teams can promote year round, the countdown, as it were, to sell tickets and jerseys and posters and beanie babies and all those things, whatever.
I still know what's his name? McClain.
Yeah.
He's still pissed off that he couldn't milk out Bagwell's 3,000 hit chase.
Biggio.
Biggio, I'm sorry, my bad. Biggio. Biggio was like 5 hits away, the home stand, and he got all
Oh,
five in that one night.
yeah. That's right. In one night. I was there. We were both there.
Yeah, we were there. We were handing out posters after it happened.
Yep.
Yes, I remember. Speaking of Altuve, he's currently has 2,047 hits, so that leaves him what 953 short of 3,000.
Right, which averages out for the rest of the contract or the rest of till 2029. Is it when the last year of the contract, I believe?
Once again, not a real year, but yes.
Right. I believe that averages out to like 150 hits a season.
Don't make me do division. I did subtraction in my head. I can't do division. So he has this year and then the 5 year extension. So 6 years that average out to 159.
Which is something he can do if he stays healthy. Obviously, that's like, I don't like reminding people of that, but I don't want to be accused of not being cognizant of it.
Yeah.
But
Do you know how many
if you
games and how many hits he got last year?
No, not off the top of my head. I mean, I know he missed what, 30 games last year?
He wish he played in 90 games last year, which means he missed 72.
Okay.
And those 90 games, he got 112 hits.
I mean, look, I mean, come on, it's definitely doable. The way he hits, it's definitely doable.
Let's see.
So
I'm
that
actually counting.
milestone.
I'm counting to see how many seasons he's had where he didn't reach 158 hits, and it was his rookie year, but he only played in 57 games. Let's see, 2019, he only played 124 games, got 149 hits. 2020, which was a fever year, and then last year, that's it. So it's been 4 years, and one of those was the COVID year, so it don't even count. So 3 years out of how many full years is that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. So 75% of the time he's hit 158 hits or more. I don't know, feels pretty good to me.
It looks very doable to me. Now, is he going to go on a tear where he gets 200 hits 4 seasons in a row, which is still a mind-blowing statistic in like this current generation of baseball?
I think those days are done for Mr. Altuve.
I think those days are done for a lot of hitters. I think that is one of the greatest feats of again this generation's baseball, the last 15 years worth, let's say. But I think reaching a milestone like 3,000 hits is still within reach. It's doable. And again, that's a big reason why you make sure he finishes his career with the organization, because again, it's something that the team can celebrate as well, that the organization can celebrate. And you don't want to see him get 3,000 hit. You don't want to see Wade Boggs getting his 3,000th hit as a Tampa Bay Ray.
Yeah. No offense to Tampa Bay, but yeah, you're right.
And yeah.
You're correct. Yeah. I mean, oh, excuse me. So yeah. So after the Altuve signing, all eyes turned to Alex Bregman,
Oh
and
boy.
people, I gotta tell you, if you expect this contract negotiation to go smooth, you got another thing coming. I believe Alex when he has Boris go out there and say he'll listen to any offer that the Astros give him, but I think he has a number in mind, and unfortunately that number is nowhere near 125 million.
No. Let me ask. I need you to kind of be the voice of reason for me.
Sure.
How one like an Alex Bregman who, and look, I understand. Obviously, they are different positions in the infield. Just on the diamond, like on in the baseball field, whether you're comparing him to Altuve or Alvarez or Shohei Ohtani for whoever, whatever. I think, I mean, is it fair to say that regular season wise, his resume doesn't measure up to someone like Jose Altuve? Because look, he's had big moments in the playoffs as well, but again, not as big as Altuve has had as well. But at the same time, and I might be answering my own questions with all this as well, because it's hard to tell a man any or tell a person, any person, man or woman, how to prioritize how much money they want to earn. Because it, obviously, Altuve could have, he could have named his price with any team and probably gotten it. But he opted that, you know, I'm content with this large amount of money as opposed to an even larger amount of money. I'm still getting a large amount of money, you know, where Bregman clearly looks like I want that large amount of money that Altuve didn't opt for. It's hard. I just, but just when you look at, when you compare the careers, you know, is he worth that kind of money?
If somebody's willing to pay for it, yes. I'm sorry, but that's like you're worth whatever you can make on the market.
Sure.
If I asked you which one of those two players had a higher on base percentage, which who would you say? Like career wise.
I would say Bregman.
You would be correct. Bregman's on base 373, Altuve 364. If I ask you which player was better defensively at a at their position, who would you say?
Bregman, yeah.
And
I mean,
which
he's
was
won more gold gloves, correct? Or has he won a gold glove? I don't know.
boy, I don't know, because I was just thinking. I don't think he's completely thrown off my train of thought where I was going here, because now I
Sorry.
have to Google this and see. Let's go to our good friend Baseball Reference. I have too many tabs open, so it's taking a while. Nope.
Okay, Altuve won the Gold Glove in 2015.
Yes, back when they were still evaluating your glove, your gold glove by your offensive production, because that's the only reason why Derek Jeter has the amount of gold gloves that he has. Anywho, which defensive position is tougher to play, second or third?
Third, right?
Correct.
It's a longer throw. Yeah, just more shots going your way.
And also, I think this has a lot to do with it as well. Which, you know what? I'm not gonna say it because I don't want to make someone Bregman seem like he's greedy or anything. But oh man, I pulled out my speaker.
No.
Still there,
I'm here.
Anthony? Still there? Oh
Yes.
no.
Do you hear me? Can you hear me?
I cannot hear Anthony. I lost him.
Uh-oh. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
All right, my bad. I pulled my headphones. My foot started falling asleep, so I moved and I pulled my
Okay.
headphone jack out. And it was like, oh, your speaker. Uh-oh.
Oh man.
That's not good. So I'm not sure how to answer this question. I think Bregman, this is going to be his last big contract. So, of course, you want to get everything you can. I'm never going to fault a player for doing that. You only have so many years of earning power.
Right.
I think what really hurts Bregman was that 2019 season when he came in second place to Mike Trout for the MVP, hit 41 home runs. And everyone thought, oh, that was going to be his level. And he's not like a top five player in baseball. What he is a top five third baseman in baseball, which is still something worthy of getting paid, right? The it's just 2009, they're playing with the goddamn moon ball, and everyone was hitting it out of the park.
I mean, he went from 41 home runs to six.
I mean, That was cold weather.
I know. I'm just trying, just making sure you're paying
Yeah,
attention.
I'm paying attention. I got stats. I'm on FanGraphs as we speak.
Yeah,
But if you look at his WRC plus, like he's still above average. No, he's still a good to great player. I mean, the last 2 years he had a WRC plus of 136, and last year was 125. He's still damn good, and he gives you excellent defense at third base. He's also what, 3 years younger than Altuve?
At least maybe four.
Let's see. Bregman's birthday is one day before mine, huh?
Oh,
I did not
nice.
know that. Yeah, he is March 30th. He'll be 30. And Altuve May 6th, so it'll be 30. So difference about 3 years and some change. But yeah. So if I'm Bregman, if you're gonna give Altuve a 5 year contract, I would like 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You know, I'm younger. So give me 5 plus another 3, give me an 8 year contract so I can retire as an Astro as well.
So now let me ask you, if you're Jim Crane, do you give Alex Bregman a 5, 6, 7 year contract?
I don't think that's the right question to ask as an owner. I think the question you need to ask is, if not Bregman, then who?
Okay.
Like, you want to keep this going. You think you can win championships for the next 2, 3, 4 years. If you're not signing Alex Bregman, then who are you signing?
So let me ask you this.
I just
Let's say
asked you.
you're John Q owner, every other owner in baseball. I mean, are you considering Bregman?
I
Or
mean,
are you considering him for that amount of time?
they shouldn't. I mean, everyone told us how bad the Astros cheating scandal is. Why would they sign any Astros? But being serious for a moment, if I'm a rival team and I need a third baseman and I feel like I can win a title, I would definitely give him 7, 8 years.
Wow.
Because, man, look, I don't know if you looked at the free agency for next year. Third baseman. You ready? It
Okay.
only has like 10 names on here besides Alec Bregman. You got Yoán Moncada, Justin Turner, Eugenio Suarez, Brandon Drury, JD Davis, Jace Peterson, Joey Wendell, Nick Zinsel, and Matt Carpenter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is that. I mean, just on resume alone, Bregman, yeah, I mean, is definitely the head of the class.
So if you're the Astros, you gotta say, okay, so who the hell, if we don't get Bregman, then who are we gonna get? You look at the free agency market, it's bare after him at third base. And then you think, okay, what if we try to just replace him from within? Let's see who you got. Will Wagner, David Hensley. Who else is up here in your third base? Zach Dinzenzo? Do any of these names excite you?
Will Wagner's not even ready. I mean, he's not even close to being ready. Is he not still in like A ball or something?
He's in AAA. I believe he was in AAA last year.
Billy the Kid's son?
Hey, that's what they're showing on FanGraphs level AAA. I will double check. And
Oh
if
wow.
he's 25, so if he's 25, he's
Oh,
still in
he
the.
is? Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he better be out of A ball.
Yeah, he was in AAA last year. I'm trying to see how many games he played. Oh, he only played 6 games in AAA last year.
Okay.
I just wonder where are you gonna do if you're the Astros, you still want to keep this gravy train rolling. What are you gonna do? Like I don't think it's a question of how much you're paying or if you have to pay Alex Bregman. It's more like, so what's the plan if you don't?
And look, I mean, this is a problem if you're not the LA Dodgers, if you're not the New York Yankees, sort of, or the New York Mets. It's like, well, at least the out of the Dodgers and Yankees, but it's like, because the Mets haven't done any winning in a long time, but it's like they have all the at least the Dodgers have managed to be contenders. And maintain a steady flow of farm talent to bring up. And I guess it's mostly on the pitching side that they've been able to keep, kind of keep up. But and at the same but and then when they need to go spend money, they can just do it. Like they have endless blank checks to write. And in the case of the Astros, who have again been winning, and like you say, because we've gotten close to this debate in the past, and you are quick to remind me, which is obviously the right, it's the right call, but you reel me back in and say, look, the goal is for the big league team to win, and obviously there's no denying that. But this is it is a problem. It's not just an opinion, but it is a problem for any team that is able to win, but they're not prepared for when that when they're not prepared for the next man up. And it seems like the Astros are in that position where they've done some great winning, they've done some great things, they've brought us a lot of joy, a lot of great moments. They're not ready for to lose Alex Bregman. And it puts them in a bind because they might have to overpay, whether he's worth it or not.
Yeah, because I've seen ESPN, I think Keeley McDanielson, also Keith Law, they ranked the Astros farm system like 27, 28, like super low.
Yeah.
So you don't have those studs. Like the Astros, we've seen they've had like rookie year contenders every year for the past like 6 years. So they're always able to find someone, but you still want that guy, like someone like a Carlos Correa, like a George Springer, like someone to come up like and just be a bona fide stud from day one. They don't have that guy.
Right. And the idea of and also I would contest they didn't have that guy ready for Altuve either. But they took care of that. They remedied that by locking him up and he's going to finish out, and they have given themselves more time to get ready. But the possibility of losing your starting third baseman is much more probable than it ever was that you might lose your starting second baseman. And so they are definitely not prepared for it, because and that timetable is a lot sooner. It's not an extra 4 or 5 years. It's 1 year.
That's all I got.
Oof, it's scary.
All right, so do you want to hear what the calculated market value, excuse me, of Alex Bregman is according to sporttrack.com?
Let's hear.
A contract of 9 years, $286 million.
9 years, 286, 31, 32 million a year.
31.7 a year. And that.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot for any player at this point. I mean,
You say it's a lot for any player. That would be the third highest contract for a third baseman. Do you know who's number one and two?
Manny Machado.
Yep, he's number one. 11 years, 350 million. Also signed when he was 30.
Yeah. Is it Rendon?
Nope, Rendon is four. Or it would be four. No, it would be five. I'm sorry. I got to push everyone down one. Rodon, 7 years, $245 million contract. You heard what sidebar, you heard what Anthony Rodon said about the season.
One of the funniest things, one of the funniest things ever, because I mean, he just left himself open for an endless stream of criticism and ribbing.
If you haven't heard Anthony and Rendon went on record saying that the season was too long, they need to lop off some games. Like, and I have to say, it's the perfect case of right message, wrong messenger that I've ever seen.
Yep. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a worse messenger
Speaking
for
of
a
Anthony.
message of that.
Yeah, speaking of, I don't think I've ever been as right on a player as I was on Anthony Rendon, because I said when he came out of Rice and he had injuries there that he was going to be injury prone in the major leagues. And look what he's been his entire time in Anaheim. But nah, if Bregman got this 9 year, $286 million, it'd be the third largest. Anthony Rendon would be fifth. Number four would be Nolan Arenado, who has an 8 year, $260 million contract, which I believe the Rockies are still paying a part of. Oh, you're not going to get number two.
To I'm trying to think who.
Give up.
Is this player a National League player?
Nope.
American League. American League. Is this player?
There you go. That's which division it is now.
Yeah. Player play in the National American League East?
Yep. You only get one more question.
Yeah.
Two out of three.
Does this player play for the okay, now I got it. It's Rafael Devers.
Yes, sir. 10 years, $313 million.
That's right.
Way to work that out. I was sure you weren't going to get it.
Took me a spell, but I got there.
But we talk about this contract, and you look at that contract compared to what Manny Machado got. That's what, an extra 86 or 14 plus 50, extra $64 million and 2 years on it, compared to the estimated one for Oz Bregman. Like, I would get, like, if that's the contract that Bregman want, like, I would definitely have to sit down and hammer out some details, but I would feel comfortable giving him that deal. But I can say that because it's not my money.
Of course.
I'd be comfortable paying all these players whatever they want. It's not my money. What about you?
$31 million for Alex Bregman. I think I have to answer with a qualifier. I mean, it's like, do I want to spend $31 million on Alex Bregman? Personally, no. But if that's what it's going to take, then I think you have to, because one, you're not ready. You're not prepared. You don't have anybody lying in wait. And two, there's no the cheaper option is will not be It will be exactly that. It will be a much cheaper option.
We're
And
being
you
very
are you.
diplomatic about it. The cheaper option will stink.
You know, you're not going to get a gold glove quality caliber player. You're not going to get someone with the postseason experience. Yeah. And you're not going to get someone who does have is really good at getting on base. I mean, has he not led the league in walks the past 2 years? Or
Oh, this is like the gold glove thing. Are you making this up?
been among the league leaders in walks?
He led the league back in 2019.
2019, yeah.
Like I pay him. I wouldn't prompt that. I know people are gonna say, well, what about other people, what about Framber Valdez? What about Kyle Tucker? You gotta pay them. I'm like, shit, you can pay them. Jim Crane is a billionaire. He can pay anything he wants and just ignore the luxury tax if he really about it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry. I gotta apologize. I'm getting back to calling that man cheap after the contracts he passed out to
Yeah.
Altuve hater. So let me apologize real quick. But if he wanted to, he could. And just say, you know what, the hell with it. I will. Apologies. I will deal with the replicate. Replicate that. Yeah, I can't talk. I will deal with the consequences of the luxury tax afterward. Or he could just sell the team if it's really that bad. The Astros are worth more now than whatever he paid for them.
Much did he pay for them?
That's a very good question.
I
Oh,
forgot that amount.
I would guess 800 million. I know they had to knock off some of the costs because they were moving to the AL West.
Okay, I found the answer.
Right. Was I close?
What's your final answer?
Final answer. I'll stick with 800 million.
680 million.
God damn.
A bargain by based on what they've done since then.
680 million. Can you Google and see how much the assholes are worth now? I want to guess.
What's your guess?
All right. I don't think they're at a billion.
Okay.
So, Mike. I'm gonna throw 800 something. So I'm gonna say 900 million.
Let's see. This is, I'm on Wikipedia.
Oh Lord, always
Where should I
accurate.
go? Where would you say I should?
I was gonna say Forbes because I know Forbes
Forbes, there
puts
it
out
is. Okay.
the.
On Forbes, as of March 2023, so this hasn't been updated for a year. What did you say?
I said 900 million.
2.25 billion
Oh God, I have no concept of money.
as of March 2023.
Are you kidding me?
Kid you not?
So it's almost four times as much as he paid for it. God damn.
And you have to imagine that that figure is only going to go up.
Does it have all the teams on there?
Not on this particular page.
I want to
Okay, here it
guess.
is, full list.
All right,
Okay.
I want to guess some of the teams.
Oh, where do they rank? Where do you think they rank?
What was the number again?
2.25 billion.
It's crazy being on this side. I'm usually the one asking these questions.
Yeah.
Let me. I gotta bring up and look at all the teams so I have a guess. So I would guess that they are less than, of course, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Cubs.
Would be correct so far.
I'm looking and looking. Dog, I don't know how much I don't know how much the Giants are really worth at this. They're probably less than the Cardinals, so let me say seventh.
No.
Oh.
They are ranked 11th.
Damn. Who's ahead of them? Who did I miss?
So here's the top 10.
All right.
As of 2023, March 2023, I'm
Yankees and
sure
Dodgers are up there.
this figure is only gonna, it should be, updated before the season. Coming in at number 10, worth $2.55 billion, the St. Louis Cardinals. Number 9, at $2.575 billion,
Ah, crap.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Fuck. I just looked at us. I was like, damn, I missed the Phillies. Okay, Phillies.
8, at
Braves.
$2.6 billion, the Braves.
Shit.
The Angels at $2.7 billion at number 7.
Oh, I never would have got that.
Nobody would have. The Mets at
I
$2.9 billion.
wonder why. Is it because of land? Like, LA land is so, or where? Anaheim, California land is so expensive. Like, that number does not make any sense. You just think of on-field product
Yeah.
throughout their entire history. But okay, keep going.
Well, I mean, it could be crazy, but it could be the Shohei effect, because according to Forbes in 2023, they made a 23% increase in value in one year value change.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Number 6 is the Mets at 2.9 billion. Number 5 is the Giants at 3.7 billion.
Of course.
Number 4 is the Cubs at 4.1 billion. Red Sox at 4.5 billion. Number 3, the Dodgers 4.8. Rounding out the top team is the Yankees at 7.1 billion.
I knew they were number one. No one was close. God, I
Yeah.
completely forgot about the Braves and Phillies. And I would have guessed damn near every team in the league before I got to the Angels.
Of course.
And I'm guessing the number 30 is the A's. It's either the A's or the Rays.
No, it's not.
Really?
Miami Marlins.
Wow.
1 billion.
So everyone's worth a billion at least.
At least. Yep, which is insane.
Crazy.
We talk about raising children to play baseball. Let's raise them to own a baseball team.
Oh, I got some bad news for you, brother. I'm black, so that ain't happening.
Oh no. Oh no. Say it isn't so.
Unless I adopt a little white kid, it ain't happening for the Dorsey household.
Oh.
Damn, everybody's worth a billion. Even the Guardians, even the A's, these teams that play in your face and tell you that they broke.
Yeah.
That's great. I can't believe. And the Astros number was over 2 billion, correct?
Yes, 2.25.
God, I can't believe I was so off.
Baltimore, who just sorry, as a callback. But they were ranked 18th last year at 1.713 billion. And I think that's what they sold for.
Ooh, man. Can't believe how off I was. I'm flabbergasted. My gas is flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man. We'll get more into baseball as the well, start next week.
Yep.
Yeah, we're gonna be starting with the NL Central. I think we're gonna go Central, East, and West for each division.
That sounds about right.
I think that's how we did last year. I'm not 100% sure. But I think that I say that as if I can't just go into the Spotify podcast and look it up. But that's what I'm gonna. Anything else?
Yeah, I think that's all I've got, at least for baseball.
Baseball, basketball, football. We talked a little bit about Andre Johnson making the Hall of Fame. I just want to say the Houston Texans had like their best night as a franchise the other night. Andre Johnson Hall of Fame and CJ Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. take home Rookie of the Year honors.
Yeah.
Oh, both the future and the past looking pretty damn good for the boys over there off of Kirby.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. It was, man, such an amazing season. Such an amazing turnaround in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, man. I just hope they, I just really want them. I'm interested in seeing what the team does in free agency and the draft. I really want them to get serious and go get Chris Johnson, the defensive tackle for the Chiefs. Put him next to Will Anderson Jr. and just have them run amok. Like, I'm more interested in that than everybody doing these, like, wide receiver options. Like, bring in Diggs, bring in this guy. I'm like, just get someone from the draft that could be a nice number three for Collins and Dell. And let's just shore up that defense. But
I like it. That's a good plan too.
I was gonna say that's me fantasy booking. But speaking of fantasy booking, let's talk about the little wrestling before we get out of here.
Woo!
So the official, we're getting Roman and Cody at WrestleMania. Looks like we're also getting heel rocked because he slapped the piss out of Cody Rhodes during the WrestleMania kickoff. What we call it? Conference, press
Press
conference.
conference. Yep.
Yeah. Restoring the feeling. It's great. I really thought they were trying to set up like a tag team, Roman versus The Rock, Roman and The Rock versus Cody and Seth and Australia at the Elimination Chamber. But apparently The Rock is not scheduled to show up. Which boo. That would
Yeah,
have
that
been,
sucks for the Australian
yeah,
fans.
that would have been a great match too. But wrestling's back. The feeling is restored. The Rock was yelling at Triple H backstage after all that, and Triple H was like, "God, it wasn't for this heart problem, motherfucker. I'll show you." I like how what's his, who what's his name? Dave. What's his last name? With the dirt sheets.
Meltzer.
Dave Meltzer had to come out and say there are no plans for Triple H to come out of retirement to wrestle
Of
because so many.
course.
No, it wasn't even his fault because people were just talking about online and shit. I guess people completely forgot that that man almost died and has a pacemaker.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H is not wrestling. There's no way the WWE's gonna clear him. No doctor's gonna clear him. And even if a doctor did, Stephanie McMahon would drug that man and throw him into the basement of their home, never to see the light of day until he found sense. Until he found sense and reason. You got three daughters, man. You ain't going nowhere. Sorry.
Nope.
No wrestling for you, buddy.
That other guy is no longer in charge, so they're not going to, he's not, she's not gonna allow one of her family members, her, like, her husband get endanger himself any more than he already has in his career.
I enjoyed CM Punk just being a rabble rouser, an instigator to say we just fight. I would just throw a punch. He talked about my family like that. I'm sorry, slug him. I'm like, the reason you're with the WWE is because of that, CM Punk. So calm the fuck down. Slugging too many people out of your previous place of employment.
Yep.
So I had a question for you. Do you think this whole thing doing right now, do you think it was planned or they're just changing and making it up on the fly?
That is going to be a hotly debated question, I think, for years to come. Because like if you look at the aftermath or not or the if you look at how they changed things for WrestleMania 30, because ultimately those comparisons, well, if they had if they not made the changes as early as they did, that comparison would have been they would have been neck and neck the whole time. They're trying to turn Cody into the next Daniel Bryan and all that stuff. And I think you can make a case and say that they got ahead of it and decided not to do that and decided to just call the audible to the audible, which, you know, does it still doesn't make a lot of sense. Bottom line is that Dwayne has superseded everyone in terms of relevance and impact. I haven't seen the press conference. I've seen clips of it. But if you look at those the clips that I've seen, who's standing front and center and who's off to the side?
Seth Rollins is off to the side, twiddling his
Well,
thumbs. Yeah.
I'll take it even further. And I'm not even talking about Seth. I'm talking about who for the past 3 years has been front and center. And who in this instance was not front and center.
That'd be one Roman Reigns.
I mean, they have completely undercut him, even in a matter of days.
It
Now
must.
he really is looking like the little cousin, you know.
If you look at that tribal, the bloodline, the tree, the family
Yeah.
tree, that had all the names and everything. If you look at the rock where it says his name, it doesn't just say Dwayne Johnson. It says High Chief. High Chief is above Tribal Chief.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. So I don't know, man. I think like you could see the changes happening over the weeks with Daniel Bryan. And again, it just seems like they may have changed course again in a matter of days. It certainly feels that way. But they will always spin it as, oh, we've been planning this for years.
They still say that the whole Daniel Bryan thing was planned out, even though we all know it was not.
wasn't. They
Yeah.
weren't in on it until mid halfway through.
Yeah. It was not a plan. And this, I don't know. I mean, I read the dirt sheets just like everyone else, and there's some I trust more than others. And Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com is like, no, this was not planned. They're changing. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why they look at the people's reaction. They're like, we need to change this. And also, good on Triple H, because if the rumors are true that the Rock Roman match was agreed to when the Rock hopped on the board of directors, and Triple H knew that, and he still booked Cody to win the Royal Rumble. Looks like he won.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed Triple H and The Rock still having wrestling wars 25 years into their careers?
Into middle age.
It's just gone from the ring to the boardroom. So, do you still think The Rock wrestles at WrestleMania? And if you do, who's he facing?
Man, I don't see how he could at this point. Because how many shows are left until WrestleMania? Is it the
Right.
Elimination Chamber?
Oh, PLE's just the Elimination Chamber, I think.
Oh, it is. Okay. So then there's no chance that they're take well then they're not taking the title off Roman.
No. Like Roman's
Because
only
man,
gonna, I
if
think
you
Roman's only losing the title at either like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. That's the only two pay-per-views.
Yeah. And if you look at the that promo by Cody on SmackDown now 2 weeks ago, they made it seem like he could very well take the title off Roman, next week at the Elimination Chamber, and then that frees up the title, and it doesn't need, you could do that match with Roman and Rock, and the title's not involved. It's just the title of head of the family or whatever, is at stake.
Yeah, I always thought that what they could do was they didn't need the title. And I heard Kaz from the Masked Man show, he brought up a good point. They could just make like a pay-per-view Rock versus Roman like a UFC. I believe we brought that up last podcast as well. Like it would not be that difficult to do that at all.
I mean, they'll sell out anywhere they want to go.
I mean, they, but I can't say sell out because I believe wasn't the press conference free,
Yeah.
but it was packed. If packed for people not even fighting, just up there doing promos, and the crowd was into it. Some of them were a little too into it. They were out there doing chants for both for the Rock and Cody at the same damn time. So dude got caught doing both of them.
Make up your mind.
Yeah. Let me interesting. I like if you're not a wrestling fan, this is the best time to get involved. Let's just watch until WrestleMania, and then you can go do whatever it is you want. But now the product is blazing white hot. This is when they pull out all the stops on the road to WrestleMania. That'll be fun. One thing I'm not looking forward to is Elimination Chamber being like 5 in the morning. Ha, now you know how it feels. That episode came on Hulu, no, Disney Plus a couple days ago. My girlfriend turned to me and was like, "So that was what Anthony was talking about when he sent you that message." I'm like, "Yes, I understand now. Thank you."
That's awesome.
Thank you. Come again.
I can always spin it. I can always find a Seinfeld or a Simpsons reference.
Yes, you can. The Simpson reference usually take me I either get them right away or take a while. Seinfeld references, you might as well speak in Russian.
Yeah,
Not getting
I try not to send you too
it.
many Seinfeld references. I don't. Yeah, I try not to, but some might slip through the cracks
Some
every now
slips
and
in.
again.
I'll just go to the Google machine.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for men?
I think that's it, man. That's all I've got.
All right. Yeah, time for you guys' podcast. I'm gonna go light a prayer candle so I can pray that my parlays come in for the Super Bowl. Yeah, big gambling hours over here. That's it. Oh, Amari says hi. He just texts me.
Okay. Thomas said,
I will as soon as I get off. All right, so that's it. That's Let me try that one more time. All right. That's all for us. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing. I'm just off right now. I'm sorry. I promise I'll never jump on another podcast without an outline of what we're talking about.
hey.
My mind is frazzled. But yeah, thank you all so much. We both appreciate you guys just listening to us and enjoying this and sharing it because, like, this is just for me, this is just me talking to my best friend about the stuff that we love. And it's just nice that people are out there listening and downloading and enjoying it too.
That's
So
the best, man.
thank you. I'll give a shout out to John. What's up, John? See, Big John in the house. I hope he enjoyed us talking about the whole he who shall not be named situation. I know he was looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, I gotta get his thoughts on it on our discussion.
All right, we'll be back next week talking baseball, going through the NL Central, or as I like to call it, someone's got to win this, the National League
Right.
division. And yeah, we'll be back having fun with you guys and breaking down and making bad predictions. Right.
Hopefully not Alek Manoah level.
Again, I got all the NL wild card teams right, damn it. Give me some praise.
Okay, yeah.
I am podcasting with a hater over here. I have a hater amongst my midst. It's your hate and Anthony believes in it. All right, we're getting out of here. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Laters.